couple things to be in prayer for. Be prayer for Christine Arlock. She's not being able to be with us today. Make sure you pray for that. Pray for the visitation tomorrow night, that God would work in a special way. Trust that you'll be there. And pray that God will give you a spirit of service on the this coming fall cleanup day. Well, there's nothing that matches people that are excited about serving the Lord. You know, there's just nothing like it. Only God can do that. That's a real sign of revival. And I want you to make sure to pray for Mr. Raines. Be sure to pray for him. Pray for God to be turning, do a turning in our church. And I also wanted to ask you to pray for the missions conference. Well, we have something special coming up we need to pray for, and that is we have special evangelistic revival meetings coming up the first week of January. And that's going to be January 1st. January 1st is on a Sunday. So we're going to start off the year right. How's that sound? Okay? We're going to start off the year right. And that's one of the things we're going to start off with right with. But and, you know, I've been praying about, you know, there's a number of men that, older men that we've had and some other ones that I want to come. But I thought, you know, we need to have a young evangelist. And I said, you know, we got one right here. Evangelist Paul Raines. And so we need to get him on the road right here. And, of course, it's not about personality. Real revival comes from the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. And so this is our opportunity to pray. And, you know, when you have a new voice, everything is novel and, you know, that's nice and people enjoy a new voice. But this isn't a new voice. We know all about them, right? We know all about them. And now is opportunity to put them in the saddle and back them with prayer and back them with real genuine desire for souls. You know, I don't think anybody's going to be trying to impress Paul Raines. You know, bringing visitors, you're going to impress Paul. No, you're not going to impress Paul Raines. You're going to bring visitors because you want to serve Jesus Christ. And you're going to pray not to impress our guest preacher. You're going to pray because you love Jesus Christ. And that's going to be a great opportunity for him, but a great opportunity for our church. And so I'm looking forward to that. All right, let's turn our Bibles tonight to a number of places, but let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. God said, let there be light, and there was light. The worlds were framed by the word of God. You know, we see here that the foundation of our faith is the word of God. But, you know, we see a lot of movement today in Christianity. And not a good movement. And we want to think about the causes of this departure from the faith. I'd like to read a little bit about what Charles Haddon Spurgeon wrote about the downgrade controversy there in England, October 28th, 1887. We enjoy reading This Day in Baptist History for our family devotions, and we're still in Volume 1. We read it over and over, and it's such a blessing. But this is what he wrote. No lover of the gospel can conceal from himself the fact that the days are evil. A new religion has been initiated, which is no more Christian than chalk is trees, and this religion, being destitute of moral honesty, palms itself off as the old faith with slight improvements. I remember when the president of Northland Baptist Bible College wrote a book on fundamentalism. And the whole thrust of the book was that the old-time fundamentalists need to be improved on. The old-time fundamentalists and the old-time fundamentalism need to be improved on. Well, you know where that school went. And the mood is still in the air. And usually it takes place as a reaction among those so-called people of God trying to improve the old-time religion. But in Spurgeon's day, there was a great attack on the Bible and the truth of the Bible. And the result in those days was a little bit more obvious. There was an attack on the atonement. There was an attack on the inspiration of scriptures. There was an attack on the Holy Spirit as just merely an influence. There was an attack on the punishment of sin as some kind of fiction. And the resurrection was just made into a myth. Now today, we still have the same attack, but it's a little bit more sophisticated. A little bit more deceptive, a little less easily perceived. It's a mood. It's called New Evangelicalism. It's pervading Christianity. 90+ percent, 95% of all Christianity is now in New Evangelicalism. And Dr. Bob Jones Sr., Junior, in his book, Cornbread and Caviar, you ought to buy the book just for the quote. This is written probably 50-some years ago. He said, New Evangelicalism is just another form of old-fashioned liberalism, modernism. But I'd like you to, I'd like to read a little quote from Spurgeon that helps you identify this apostasy in terms that you can understand. So I want you to listen closely and see if it's in our church. At the back of doctrinal falsehood comes a natural decline of spiritual life. Evidenced by a taste for questionable amusements and a weariness of devotional meetings. A taste for questionable amusements. And a weariness of devotional meetings. Wow. Isn't that something? No wonder you'd have to go far, far and wide nowadays to find a booming Sunday evening service or even a Sunday evening service at all. You know, history repeats itself. But we find in the Bible that this has been predicted by the Lord. And that same issues are today. There is an attack on the atonement. Salvation is not an instantaneous conversion. It has become a process. The Holy Spirit, not a personal being. He's just an influence. Many don't even know him. The Word of God is attacked. Questioned. Can you believe it? Can you believe that the majority of evangelical Christians do not believe in six literal 24-hour days of creation? 40% of evangelicals, 45%, do not believe that the flood was universal. Today, the modern versions have errors in them. But it's not a problem. Because why? Because the Bible really isn't what it says it is, the Word of God. I mean, it's the same thing taking place again. I'd like us to think briefly tonight of, although we know that the Bible tells us there's going to be a departure, I'd like us to briefly think about why, what are the causes of the departure from the faith? What are the causes of the departure from the faith? Now, if you are a doctrinal person, you can understand what I'm talking about. If you're not a doctrinal person, well, then you can see the other part. You can see that lack of love for being in church and hearing the Bible. You can see that spirit everywhere. That there's some other things a lot more thrilling than being in church. And you can see that love for questionable amusements, for the world, and you can just see that taking place. What are the causes of this departure? Now, if you go with me to 2 Timothy, we have a chapter that talks about, a couple chapters that talk about, in fact, 2 Timothy is all about the departure of the last days. But 2 Timothy 3, it says this, "Know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." And we go through this whole passage of Scripture describing the characteristics of the last days. And we ask ourselves, huh? How can this be so? In the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, Pastor John, he just talked about that, right? Selfies. Selfishness. Everything's about self today. You know, that's what the mega church is all about. Self. You know, fit into my life. Just make it convenient. Make it Saturday night. Make it Friday night. Make it Thursday night. It's all about self. But how does that happen that this is so widespread? Perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, lacking self-control, fierce, despisers of those that are good. I mean, you just go through this list and you see that, that this isn't just talking about the world. This is talking a lot about Christianity, so-called. Traitors. Lack of loyalty. Heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but lacking the power thereof. Wow. Now, so what does this tell us? This tells us that the last days are characterized by Satan's thinking and deception. You know, you can find a rebel here and there. I mean, they've always had rebels. I mean, when I was in high school, there's a few rebels. We called them the greasers. You know? And they would get in fights. But, you know, the worst thing that they would do is go in the bathrooms and they would smoke. That's what they did. I mean, and there were some, but there weren't many. But, you know, how is it that you have this pervasion of lack of respect of authority, lack of respect of good people, there's no fear to say terrible things about people of spiritual leaders. You know, even young people have no sense of reverence and respect. Well, that's what the Bible says. It's going to happen. But it's universal. It's everywhere. That tells us there's a power behind it. And you know who that power is? Satan. Satan is behind that power. A spirit of thinking that is pervading the world, pervading young people, pervading even Christian adults. Like I said, 95 to 99% of Christianity has fallen into the category of new evangelicalism. There is a predominant work of Satan upon the thinking of people and the deception of people. Notice what it says in the latter part of this chapter, verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. You'd say, well, man, I'd like to see a change of the tide. Evil men shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and what? Being deceived. Now, if you're deceived, you probably won't like this message because you'll say, it doesn't apply to me. Because the key issue of deception is if you're deceived, you don't know it. Otherwise, deception wouldn't be deception. Isn't that right? So we have this pervading work of Satan as controlling the thinking of the day in which we live. Isn't it amazing? What does the Bible say is the key to not being influenced by Satan? What is one of the things the Bible says that is a key not to be influenced by Satan? James chapter 4, verse 7 gives us the answer. James 4, 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. What is the key principle? You know how you defeat the devil? Obedience. Obedience. Now that's not a popular word, is it? Obedience. Submit yourself to God. How do you submit to God? You know what? It's pretty simple. You read what the Bible says and you obey it. Now obviously you know it's bigger than that, because if you can't even hear the Bible if your heart isn't right. But submit to God. You know, that's old time religion. Today it is, I gotta be convinced 1,000%, and I have to have this feeling in my heart. Wow. Really? How about what the Bible says? How about obeying what God says? Because he says it. That's obedience. We live in a day that you have to have 5,000 verses to prove that you shouldn't be watching junk on TV. How many verses do you need? How many verses do you need? You need the Bible, which is full of verses, and you need the Holy Spirit. That's all you need. Nothing else. And after you start obeying, you'll find that there's tons of verses. So we have an influence of Satan that is very real today, that is pervading our world today. Pervading our world today. There is no explanation why there's this wholesale, universal, not 100%, but you know what I mean, a departure from truth and holiness and love for God and God's house. Well, unthankfulness, disloyalty, disrespect, lack of reverence. Where did it come from? There's this influence of Satan that is real in this age in which we live. I think there's some other interesting truths of why and how this is. But the Bible tells us, it says there in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Well, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. That's where we want to go next. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy 1. This charge I commit unto thee, Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before unto thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience. Now we've been reminded of a faithful missionary, served faithfully 40 years, field of Spain. Every part of her soul was to stay true to God and to the faith and to serve Him. The Bible tells us she was how you war a good warfare. And I think this is important to note. It tells us in verse 19, how do you hold war, good warfare? You hold faith and a good conscience, which some having put away. Now remember, every pronoun has an antecedent, right? You learned that in English class. And which noun precedes the pronoun which? Look in your Bible. Look in your Bible. Which noun precedes the pronoun which? What is it? The noun is conscience. Which some having put away. They put away what? Their conscience. And what is the result of putting away their conscience? Concerning faith, hath made shipwreck. Now, you probably heard me say this before. Maybe you didn't. You know what? People remember what they want to remember. But you take any young person who's changed their convictions, who claims to be saved, I can almost guarantee you that it's because they have gone against their conscience in their life. And now they say, preferences, just preferences. Ever heard that one before? No, I didn't lose my convictions. Those were just preferences. Really? Really? No. It's amazing how they all come out in the same category. Same category. That's clearly against the Bible. Not just preference. No. Violate your conscience. And you're in big trouble. What do I mean? Violate your conscience and don't get it right with God. Violate your conscience and don't get right with God. You're on a pathway. And there's been a loss of conscience. And you know the best way to deal with that? This is sarcasm. Run. 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 That's right, run. Run from the preaching. Run from the truth. That's the easiest way. You can always find somebody going to agree with you. Right? Oh, you're going to find somebody going to agree with you. You know, I was thinking about this desire to have someone agree with you. We can't understand why Noah preached 120 years that the flood was going to come and nobody listened to him. Ever think about that? You know why? Because people back then are people like today. It doesn't matter what the truth is. What they're doing is they're trying to find out what everybody else thinks. And when everybody else thought that Noah was crazy, that's what they thought. Same way today, isn't it? Yeah. It's called a weather vane Christian. You know, which direction the wind coming from, that's what they're going to believe. You know, that's what the Bible means by tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Weather vane Christians. And so we have the loss of conviction. A loss of conscience is a very key issue today. And all I can say is that it's real. And you know what? There is a scary part of that. A couple of scary parts of that is that this. Young people don't know that. The spirit of the day is pride. I can get away with sin. I can get away with what I'm doing. It's all about my brain. But the other part of it is this. You know what the other part of it is? Your life is full of opportunities to violate and lose your conscience. Your life is full of opportunities to violate and lose your conscience. Now, some of us tomorrow are celebrating a birthday. Tomorrow is my 48th spiritual birthday. I can tell you that life, as the passing years, it doesn't take away the opportunity to violate your conscience and lose everything. It is a constant reality. We have to stay close to God. Don't think that just by your age that you are exempt from losing it all. All you have to do is cross the line. Cross the line, not get it right with God. You know, it's pretty simple. Years ago, it used to be that the turning point in a young person's life many times was when they got a car. Remember those days? They got a car. Why was that the turning point? Well, because now, for the first time, they have their own private life. And now, they're in their car, and most of those cars had a radio. And for the first time in their life, they could, in their private life, listen to music that was against what they had been taught, what was allowed in their home. And you would see many young people. But you know, we live in a different world now, don't we? With texting, cell phones, internet. That private world that mom and dad know everything about us isn't there anymore, is it? You know, lots of opportunities to lose your conscience. Especially when there's this spirit. I mean, brother, who is it? Wyatt. He said they went to, they've had some great meetings in the churches, but they went to one church in Indiana. And the seven young people in that church decided, covenanted together, they were not going to make one decision. And they didn't. I can tell you, every one of those kids, there's something in their soul where they lost their conscience, and they aren't going to let God uncover it. And it happens to adults too, don't they? People depart from the faith, not because the Bible changed, but because their heart changed. They lost their conscience. There's another obvious truth. And we find that in 2 Timothy. And in this great chapter that talks about evil men waxing worse and worse. And it talks about verse 8, Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. So do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. etc. The last two verses in this chapter are an answer to the apostasy. And we always need to think about that context in 2 Timothy 3. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. There is a lack, loss today of the conviction that the Bible is the absolute, infallible truth of God. It's an opinion book. It's a book to get your own ideas out of. It's not what it really is. The authoritative, infallible, without error, pure Word of God. And that's how people treat it. Gone are the days that Christians, when any decision that they need to make, they would search the Scriptures. They would pray over the Bible. They would find out what God said. You know, we live in the most post-millennial age. Post-millennialism. Okay? You know what that means? That's the age of the youth of today, post-millennials. They will tell you that post-millennials go to the college campus. And you know what they say? There's no truth. What I think is, whatever I think, that's the truth. That's right, isn't it, Mr. Bird? Whatever I think, that's the truth. Now let me ask, will you be honest? Isn't that exactly how people think today? This is what I think. This is what I think. This is what I think, as though that, it's an authoritative thought from God. Resist the preaching. Resist the Bible. Look for some scapegoat. Because our mind is God. Whatever we think is right. I was talking to this liberal girl at the university, and I said, she said, well, everybody's thoughts to yourself, you know, whatever you... And I says, well, how can they all be right? Well, they are. Isn't that right, Heath? Amazing. The pride of intellect is in opposition to the authority of the Word of God. You know, what about the day in which people would read the Bible? They'd read the Bible and the Spirit of God would get a hold of their heart. And their life was changed by the Word of God. You don't see much of that today. We see a little bit of that in devotional walk with God. But we don't see much of that today in people's personal lives. I remember preaching through the first book ever preached through in McConaughey Baptist Church was 1 Timothy. I figured starting a church, we're going to preach from a book that says setting in order the things in the house of God. Okay? And you know, I remember reading that passage, studying that passage of Scripture that women to be adorned in modest apparel. Whew. After godliness. According to godliness. And I thought of the most godly lady that I knew. And I said, no, she wouldn't be wearing that. And she wouldn't be wearing that. And she wouldn't be wearing that. Our family changed that day. One verse in the Bible. And of course, the rest of the Bible goes, but you know, those days are over. Those days are over. It's almost a rarity. Praise God, once in a while I get some real refreshment from people of God, but it's a rarity nowadays that you talk to someone and they said, whoa, I read the Bible. And whoa, that's it. You know what it's rooted in? It's rooted in a conviction that the Bible is the Word of God. And it's all alone. And our mind does not compete with the Bible in any way. We don't have a better idea. Our opinion means nothing. Our opinions need to come from the Bible. The departure of the day is because of a loss of conviction that the Bible is the Word of God. Now you can know this if you know that you've lost this. If you can read the Bible, you can hear a sermon, and you can walk away from it. You can walk away from it. You can walk away from it. No problem. You know that you've lost the conviction that the Bible is the Word of God. In practicality. Loss of conscience, loss of conviction. The Bible is the Word of God. Wrong thinking. Receiving false messages. 2 Timothy 3. It says, verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Receiving false messages. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 6. And we'll close with this. Verse 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Huh, praise the Lord. You know what? It doesn't matter which direction the world is going. It doesn't matter which direction the world is going. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if all Christianity got permeated with new evangelicalism, which it won't. It doesn't matter. Because through Christ, we're overcomers. Doesn't matter what your background is. Praise God. Doesn't matter what your background is. You can be raised in total Bible ignorance and be brought to the truth because of Christ. It says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That, amen, isn't that great? They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Wrong thinking. Receive the wrong message. Well, as a matter of, one of the basic issues is genetics. Genetics. You know, one of the big problems today, I think, is there's too many unsaved people in churches today. They don't want standards. They don't want godliness. They don't want holiness. Unsaved people don't want it. They don't want it. And if I was unsaved, I wouldn't want it either. Those that are unsaved, they hear the message of the world. That's why. Their heart is of the world. They receive the message of the world. Verse 6, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now we go to Proverbs 2 and we could talk about the Bible and studying the Bible. And discernment is not something you buy at Walmart. Discernment is something you get from the Bible having entrance into your soul. You know, all these things have the opposite. How to keep from being a part of the departure. Submit to God. Resist the devil. Don't let any sin remain in your life unconfessed. Don't let any sin in your life remain unconfessed. It is dangerous. The devil says, cover it. Don't let anybody find it. Keep it secret. That's the most dangerous thing you can ever do as a Christian. Keep your conscience right with God. Get back to having the conviction that the Bible is the Word of God. You know, how would you change that? If you have... the Bible has lost its power in your life. I'm not exactly sure. But this is what I would think. Start spending a lot of time reading the Bible. And start in the book of Genesis. And start reading and reading and reading. And when you come to church with a humble heart, not a prejudiced heart, and say, God, show me something from the Word of God today that I need to change in my life. And then when He tells you what it is, do it. And the next time you come to church, you'll hear the voice of the Spirit of God. The Bible will be a little bit stronger in your life. It'll be more powerful. Memorize God's Word. And we could go on. Departure from the faith is real. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said in 1887, when England was on the downward slide from being the great missionary sending agency of the whole world, over 90%+ of all missionaries used to be sent out by Britain. They're in the decline. Spurgeon said, at the back of doctrinal falsehood comes a natural decline of spiritual life. Evidenced by a taste for questionable amusements and a weariness of devotional meetings. You know, when you get tired of going to church, you know there's something really seriously wrong. And when your soul longs for the entertainment of the world because you don't get a thrill out of the things of God, you know something's vitally wrong. And my experience is either these things will lead you to doctrinal deviation, or doctrinal deviation will reveal itself in these things that we talk about. Let's pray tonight. Lord, we can only pray for your help tonight. We can only pray for your mercy, that precious souls would be rescued from the evil of our day. And Lord, we know that judgment must begin at the house of God. And how can we expect this world to have a love for the things of God, a desire to hear the gospel, receptivity to witnessing if it's hum-ho or ho-hum in the church? And Lord, might you get a hold of a heart tonight. Might you get hold of all our hearts. Might us, Lord, all of us be warned. Might of us all realize that we are vulnerable, and that, Lord, we can only be overcomers by allowing He that is in us, the Lord Jesus, the Spirit of God, to control our life and to lead us. And so, Lord, I pray that there might be an alarm in the secrets of hearts that say, oh, I've lost my love for being in church. I've lost my love in the power of the Word of God. I've lost the great joy in those things, and my heart is drawn to finding its joy in the amusements of the world. Oh God, might a soul be alerted. Might you be able to have free course, Lord, even tonight. Oh God, we'll praise you. We know that you are the overcomer, and you make your people overcomers. And those that are in the midst of the hold of these things, might they tonight rise up as an overcomer through the Lord Jesus. With heads bowed and eyes closed, you sense in your own soul the spirit of the times is trying to get a hold of you. And God's Spirit has spoken to your soul tonight about delivering yourself from that thinking, from that way of life. Maybe there's unconfessed sin in your life. You think you can cover it, but be sure your sin will find you out. The worst thing it could do is ruin your life, ruin your soul on the inside. And God is speaking to your heart. Say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm concerned about my soul. Pray for me. I'm concerned about my soul. Anyone here tonight, God has spoken to your heart. Okay? Praise the Lord. Pastor, pray for me. I'm concerned about my soul. Okay. Lord, we know revival can come from one. And we pray, God, that you will work miraculously in showing yourself great and powerful, Lord, in these precious souls tonight. who have been honest and humble enough to say, pray for me. I'm concerned about my soul. Lord, as you look down from heaven, we pray for your intervention in these precious souls. In Jesus' name, amen.